When a film called Downtown Express was released last year, Philippe Quint, a classically trained violinist, and Nellie Mackay, the multi-talented singer, songwriter, actress, and stage performer, came on our show to talk about it. This coming Monday, they'll be performing music from the film at Joe's Pub to celebrate the release of the film's soundtrack album on Raquel Records. And I'm very pleased that it has brought Nellie Mackay and Philippe Quint back to our show, along with Michael Bacon, who served as the film's musical director. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Michael, isn't the soundtrack CD usually released when the film opens? What happened here?
Well, we're a little late, but other than that, I think it's, you know, nowadays I'm not so sure the street date means as much as it used to. And, you know, the film was released sort of on a limited amount, and the CD kind of followed along when we got it done.
Well, the music was fabulous. The film is really as much about music as anything else. Nellie, can you give us a brief synopsis of its plot?
Oh,
for people who haven't seen it.
Oh, boy.
Well, I could give the briefest synopsis, but I'm sure that...
Well, a wonderful lad comes from a foreign land to explore our dysfunctional city, and he encounters dinosaurs.
Well, that's about as close to it as... It's Philippe, classical violinist.
I feel like I was in a very different movie.
But
how would you describe it, Philippe? Well, you know, for me, it was rather a personal story because it's in many ways mirrored my life. It's about a Russian classical violinist whose father wants him to come to Juilliard and play with him in a quartet, but the sounds of New York so attractive and so different, and he meets this underground singer named Ramona, played by Nelly, and of course there's a love story, and we start experimenting with the music. I mean, the music is basically the main character of the film.
Was the film written around that experience?
I think the more the script was developed, the more parts from my actual life were coming into the play.
And Michael, how did you get involved in the project?
David Grubman's one of my oldest clients, actually gave me my first job in New York. And
the director of the film.
Yes, and introduced me to Philip and Nellie. And we were trying to figure out how long ago it was. I think it was about 7 years ago, the first time we all got together. And when I look back at the final product, the way it was developed was actually done in a very organic way. We, three of us, got together, started writing music. We cast a band. We wrote some songs with the band and recreated the experience of writing in the film. So as Philip said, it's pretty much of a music-driven film. All the plot is kind of driven by the juxtaposition of Philip's character with the art music and Nellie's character with the rock and pop and soul music.
Until the dinosaurs appear.
Of course.
Nellie and Philippe's musical styles are quite different. What was the process of getting them to mesh, or was that even a concern?
Well, it was kind of what the film needed to be, is what that process of meshing was, and we didn't really know what it was going to be. And in fact, it went to a lot of connections that we didn't really even plan, and some of them were spontaneous.
Nellie, did it ever feel like you were creating a new genre of music?
Oh, for sure. Well, because I felt like the engine behind everything was Michael, you know, because he appreciates things like time and deadlines and, you know, the necessity for getting things done. So then Philippe would show up, and then hours later I would show up, and somehow something came out of it.
What was the greatest difference between your experience as a performer of music and playing a musician in a film?
Oh, well, typecast again. I don't know. I guess it was a delight making the music. You just have to lose your self-consciousness.
Well, there have been a number of films in the past where musicians played themselves or some kind of a version of themselves, not always successfully. There are some good examples. Dexter Gordon in Round Midnight turned out to be a natural. What about you, Philippe? Had you done any acting before you worked in this film?
Well, for me, this was a little bit backwards, because first I actually was offered the part in this film, And
then you had to learn how to play violin.
Exactly, yes. And surprisingly, I like it so much that I still remained a violinist and kept the Russian accent, believe it or not. Yeah, but so I was offered the part, and then I was under the impression that we will go into shooting the movie the next day. But I didn't realize that it may take some time, and it was taking longer than we thought. So I decided to support myself with several acting classes, which actually lasted for about 3 years. And I just loved the process, and I got to study a lot of great plays. And it was extremely beneficial for the film.
Well, you're natural for Chekhov. You already have the accent.
Exactly.
Right, yes.
Nelly, was it easier to do this than working with a couple of clowns, as you did recently during the three-month off-Broadway run of Old Hats with Bill Irwin and David Shiner?
Let me tell you about those clowns. They are selfish and greedy, punitive. They beat us. They withhold food. They play vicious pranks. So, yes, altogether, this was a tremendously more rewarding experience.
And I assume
those
that
two
the clowning,
charlatans.
the clowning got in the way of the serious stuff, which was making music.
Oh, yes. There are always fake noses on the piano and things.
You were the musical director for that production. Was that something new for you?
Oh, well, titles. It seems kind of like it's a symptom of hierarchy. I mean, do we really need titles? I mean, we're all going to die. You know, just it's putting on a show in a barn, really.
So do you feel that way, Michael? It's just a matter of hierarchy?
No.
You take that title seriously, musical director.
Well, it's not only music, but, you know, the places that we shot, for instance, we go to, a loft in Brooklyn and middle of the summer, and the air conditioner can't run because you can't shoot with the air conditioner because of the sound, and we were recording everything musically on a little laptop, and my laptop would get so hot, I mean, you almost couldn't touch it, and if something went wrong with the music, if it wasn't recorded properly, then, you know, since it's a music-driven film, it was a lot of pressure to get everything recorded, and I think to make a film believable, to make it so when Philip's playing his violin or Nellie's playing her piano or singing that it's totally locks up, syncs up perfectly, was a huge challenge. And I think we were pretty successful. We came up with some really interesting kind of techniques for making the music believable.
My guests are Michael Bacon, who is the musical director of a film called Downtown Express, Nellie Mackay and Philippe Quint, who are the stars of that film. And they will be celebrating the release of the soundtrack album next Monday night at Joe's Pub. How familiar were you with Nellie's style of music before you got together to work on this film?
Well, actually, that was the first time I met Nellie, and I think our first get-together at Michael's studio was the first time I was exposed to your style.
So you're learning on the fly.
Yeah, it was, which was actually exciting. You know, in a day of an age when everybody Googles you right away, sometimes you appear somewhere and you actually don't have to say anything about yourself anymore because everybody knows, you know, by the way of information on the web. So it's interesting for me to discover people when I meet them, you know, for the very first time. And that was the case here. And when we started collaborating, you know, that was an unbelievable hybrid of sound.
But you'd already, I assume, been breaking free of your classical training. Because many people think of classical musicians as purists. And I'm assuming that, as we saw in the film, there were classical music friends who warned you against doing this sort of thing.
Right. And in fact, where film doesn't go into the direction of my personal life, I grew up in an unbelievably conservative family where, you know, doing anything outside of classical music would basically mean some sort of a punishment, hopefully a light one.
Were you allowed to listen to pop music?
Well, you know, surprisingly, my mother is actually a popular music composer in Russia, so she was sort of the pioneer in our family to break out of the tradition of purely classical music. So for me, what was important is that what we create doesn't detract from classical music, because there's, you know, I don't like the term crossover in general. You know, it just have this negative connotation to it, you know. So we were trying to create something where we would all feel good about each other.
Well, there have been a number of violinists who played popular music, but few of them have had as good a sound as you do because of the classical training, I imagine.
I think Philippe improvises and swings better than I do. That's not saying much.
Was the improvisation something that came easily?
You know, at first it was very difficult, I have to say.
There have been some great improvisers on the violin throughout the history of jazz.
But, you know, improvisation, just like acting, you know, it's a craft that needs to be learned. I was never under the impression that you can just do something just, you know, because it comes naturally to you. And even if it does come naturally to you, you still, I mean, you have to have enough respect for whatever craft to really dig into it. And this is what I try to do with acting. And same with improvisation. You know, when we first got together with Michael, you know, I was like, and Michael said, no, do this round, do this, you know, go with, you know, G7 chord, D7. I wasn't used to it, you know. I was like, this is the foreign language completely, you know. But after, of course, you know, 5 years of working together now or more, you know, I feel much more natural with improvisation and just, you know, doing, you know, working with different styles.
Nelly, nobody likes to be pigeonholed.
No.
But if pressed, how would you describe what you do and the music you play? And do you think of yourself as a musician first? Because the first time I saw you, you weren't playing piano. You were playing Polly Peachum in Three Penny Opera on Broadway. Was that your first Broadway show?
Thank you. Yes, that was my first. Yes.
Had your background been in acting, or is that something that you fell into the way Philippe fell into it?
Well, you know, Brecht said that acting is as natural as breathing. Everybody does it, you know.
Well, some people do it better than others. I've noticed that.
I don't, you know, I actually think probably the more, you know, so-called amateur you are, maybe the better you do it. I think as soon as you start overthinking it, you know, your head gets in the way. And when my mother went to school for theater, the people who had been to college tended to have a lot more difficulty with getting into the rhythm of things than people who had less education, because their head kept getting in the way. But yeah, gee, you know, you just like to express yourself, make money, you know, have fun.
Well, you play piano rather well, so did you have classical training?
Oh, yes. In fact, Philippe and I studied under the same teacher, Stanislavs Geschofferschildorf.
Sounds like an interesting hybrid between Stanislavski and every other Russian last name that I've ever heard. But we are performing a purely classical number at Joe's Pub, which is a melody by Tchaikovsky. And it's something that we're also doing in the film.
Yeah, in the film, you accompany him on a classical piece.
Yes.
So was that hard for you to get together, or can you just play anything?
Oh, whoa. No.
You
no.
just read, you know, or you just look at a piece of music and you read perfectly, right?
Oh, right. No, Philippe, he has a ruler over me.
Yeah. You know what is really fascinating to me, that in recent years I have encountered an enormous amount of musicians and well-known composers that are not able to read a music score. And I said, how do you do that? And the response is that, well, you know, we come in the studio, we have the idea in our head. See, again, in my pure classical training, for me, it's the obvious thing for a composer to read the score. But now, you know, my mind had opened up that you actually, it's not so necessary as far as you have the global idea of the composition.
Now, Michael, one of the things, Philippe talked about improvisation, but swinging is also hard for classically trained musicians. But the music on the soundtrack swings. Is that something that just seemed to come naturally, fall into place?
Well, we tried to cast a band that could naturally fall into the persona that the movie is creating. So we had to change some people around. We had one part for a guitar player who could really act, who was a really good actor, and we ended up with a really great guitar player who's less experienced as an actor, so we made the actor the bass player. So things like that, we had to sort of make some adjustments. But the swinging thing, I think, is one of the most elusive things in music, because I recently did a session, an orchestral session, and we had I composed a swing piece and put it in front of them in straight eights, and a lot of them could play it, and some of them just couldn't do it.
In the early days of rock and roll, there were these string musicians who started making wonderful careers because they could play pop music, right. And they wound up probably making more money than when they were working for the Philharmonic. Nellie, you also composed songs. Did you write any of the songs in the film?
Oh, yes. Well, it was very collaborative.
Did you write the lyrics? Because the lyrics are always so clever.
Thank you. No, the lyrics are mostly Michael. I mean, we collaborated on some. But again, you know, I show up with nothing.
Well, I would leave the second verse out, and about 5 minutes before the cameras are going to roll, Nellie would be wildly right. over there writing some stuff on a piece of toilet paper.
And, well, what about the lyrics in Old Hat?
Did you write them? Old Hats. Yeah, I think I wrote all those lyrics. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
I thank you all so much for being
Thanks
on
for
our
us.
Show. It's next Monday night. Mm-hmm. Do you know when the shows are?
It starts at 9:30 at Joe's Pub.
And then are you going to take this act on the road?
Oh, I hope so.
Well, we'll see.
Is there a group that is developing out of this?
Well, you know, what's been really incredible is that because of film premiere, that so many different film festivals around the world, a lot of those places actually requested for us to show up and do a couple of songs from it, which is really great because it's almost like you're jumping out of the screen.
Right.
Well, Philippe and Nellie and Michael, will you also be performing?
Yeah.
They'll be, it's this coming Monday, the 24th, at Joe's Pub at 9:30. And for ticket information, you can go to our show page at WNYC.org. My great thanks to Nellie Mackay, Philippe Quint, and Michael Bacon for being on our show. And we're going to go out with a song called Letting Me Fall in Love. Little lady on the street.